From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on This Day in Maine, Friday, February 22nd, 2019. And on this day, we'll look at the Riverview recertification, the new report on how Maine's child welfare caseworkers are doing, and the new Title X rules. That's ahead in just a moment. After nearly half a dozen years, the state's Riverview Psychiatric Center has passed federal inspection to qualify for funds under the Medicare program. Maine Public political correspondent Mal Leary joins us from our State House Bureau to look at what this all means for the state. Mal, this sounds like good news and kind of a big deal, is it?
I think it is, Nora. It's clearly good news for the patients at Riverview because now they're getting the quality of care they should have been getting all along for the last several years. There's been a big effort in the last year to try to clean up all of these problems. Now, we have to go back to April of 2013. That's when the state lost its first certification after inspection by federal officials. And the federal officials said that Medicaid funds of almost $20 million a year should be suspended. They found some serious problems, Nora. For example, unnecessary use of restraints on patients, the use of stun guns, pepper spray by security staff on patients. The hospital was also faulted for a number of problems with staffing and tracking the care that was actually given to patients. Federal officials say those problems have now been solved as of an inspection that was held last month, and the state can now start to draw as of January 30th, once again draw down all that Medicare money. That's about $20 million a year. But the state still faces a bill from the federal government for federal money that was improperly used.
And is that a lot of money, and does the state have the money to pay that bill?
We don't know the exact size of that bill. But last month, the state auditor went before the Appropriations Committee and said at that time the bill had reached $70 million. Remember, this goes back nearly 6 years in which the LePage administration continued to draw on federal Medicare funds without authorization. So it's all added up. And in 2017, the LePage administration got a letter saying the bill then was up to $51 million and that the state was shut off from drawing down any more money without authorization. Now the Appropriations Committee looked at that. I would characterize it as a rather blistering letter from the feds and put language in the budget that year reserving $65 million from the state's rainy day fund to pay what finally may be owed. So we may be looking at a $5 million bill or something different.
Okay, so this happened. The federal funds were cut off. How has Riverview stayed open and paid its bills during this time?
Under the LePage administration, they started to use transfers from the MaineCare surplus to pay the bills. Now, you got to remember, MaineCare, which is the state's name for Medicaid, is paid for by both the state and federal government. Maine picks up roughly a third, the federal government roughly two-thirds, so that overall, when MaineCare expenditures are down, which they have been, the state has a surplus in the account of state money that they can use for other purposes. They've been using that to keep Riverview afloat since that 2017 letter from the federal government that said no more Medicare money for you.
So what's next here? Will the state be sending a big check to the feds?
Well, we don't know yet because we don't know the size of the bill. You see, there are state appeals pending on some of the past findings of inspections at the hospital that could maybe mitigate what the feds want back from the state. This has happened in the past. The state violated the law for temporary assistance for needy families. They were hit with a big fine, and the federal government later mitigated that back to a much smaller amount. But clearly, Nora, it's an issue as the Appropriations Committee works on the state budget, and the panel wants to clean up this funding issue in this budget and not let it drag on any further.
All right, that's Maine Public political correspondent Mal Leary. Mal, thanks as always for this.
Thank you, Nora.
The state has released a report on the experiences of its child welfare caseworkers. In September of 2018, the office OPEGA started surveying caseworkers and supervisors as part of an effort to assess the state's child welfare system. According to that report, caseworkers reported significant stressors like unpredictable hours, difficulty balancing the work with their own lives, concerns over their own safety while in the field, and many felt that the caseloads they were given could not be accomplished within a 40-hour work week. The survey comes as the state works to overhaul its child welfare system, an action spurred by the domestic abuse deaths of two young children last year. Abortion providers in Maine say they are dismayed by a new rule released today by the Trump administration, which places new restrictions on how health clinics that receive Title X funding can provide abortion services. Title X is the only federal grant program that provides funding for family planning services, including birth control. But now clinics that receive the funding have new rules to navigate. Abortion services must be separated by not just a financial barrier, but a physical barrier from other clinic services, and providers are not allowed to refer their patients elsewhere for abortions.
We don't accept any restrictive state or federal funding, and this is the reason.
Andrea Irwin's executive director of the Mabel Wadsworth Center, which provides women's health care in Bangor. She says the center's founders back in the 80s deliberately bypassed Title X funding because of potential rule changes such as the ones released today. Irwin calls the rules atrocious and says many clinics are now in a difficult position.
Some, as best I know, may actually decide to forgo the funding and either try to make it up with state funding or private sources instead.
The rule has yet to be published in the Federal Register, after which it takes effect in 60 days. The annual Camden Conference gets underway today with a focus on China, just as President Trump engaged in trade talks with the Chinese special envoy in Washington, D.C. Three of the China scholars invited to take part in Camden were guests today on Maine Calling and were asked about the prospects for a trade agreement.
Well, I don't think any of us really know. There has been a little bit of encouragement in that they seem to be, both sides seem to be making slightly positive noises that something might be possible. Trump has said that maybe the deadline of the beginning of March could be postponed a little if need be. But more than that, I can't really say.
Well, I think that one of the questions is, what should we wish for as an outcome? And I think that what we should wish for depends a lot on where you think the relationship is going. If you agree with the Trump administration that this is now a long-term contentious relationship with very high stakes to see which of these two very powerful nations will play a greater role, not necessarily a determinative role, but a greater role in shaping security architectures, trading regimes, the regulation of technology, norms and practices, value systems. If you see this as a long-term competition, then you don't necessarily want a resolution. You may want a doubling down and the imposition of more tariffs. So there's a great deal of concern that President Trump will settle for vague promises and the purchase of a few more soybeans and some liquefied natural gas. If, on the other hand, your major concern is sort of short-term and you believe that the United States and China can find a way to accommodate and work out a coevolution, then I think you want to see them settle for something that will tamp down tensions in the short term. And so that's really the big dividing line, I think.
I expect that the both sides would likely come to a short-term compromise because both China and the U.S. need to catch their breath. Mm. The trade talks is damaging for both sides. And so I think it is in their interest to come up with a short-term compromise. But I would agree with Robert that even with a short-term compromise, this is more of a Band-Aid solution, and it does not address the long-term issue, which is that the two countries are now in a long-term contentious relationship, and how are they going to coexist with each other?
That was Martin Jakes. He's a senior fellow at the Department of Politics and International Studies at Cambridge University. Yuen Ong is an associate professor of political science at the University of Michigan, and Robert Daly's director of the Kissinger Institute on China and the United States at the Woodrow Wilson Center in Washington. They're all speakers at this year's Camden Conference, which got underway today. For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine for Friday, February 22nd, 2019. Thanks to Ed Morin and to our digital team. I'm Nora Flaherty.